Okay, so what the hell happened in the NFC North this week? What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. We're back. Mike and I are back together on the podcast. Last week, you just had me, and the week prior, you just had Mike due to technical difficulties. And we ran into technical difficulties this week. That's why the upload's a little late. But let's get started. We'll save our teams for later because I know we're going to have a lot to talk about on those. But let's go straight into the Chicago Bears. Now, I would say this game was kind of a thriller a little bit. It was the Chicago Bears taking the win against Cincinnati 47-42.
Now, Nick, I actually want to start off and ask, why are people saying that this is the game, the best game of the year? Or the best game by the Bears? In my opinion, this is probably one of the worst because it's the Cincinnati Bengals with the backup, or Joe Flacco for that matter, and the Bengals have one of the worst defenses. Yes, they scored 47, but they went down 7-0 quick to a kick return. The Bears special teams absolutely blew it. I mean, how can this be the best game of the year?
I think they're saying it because of the points that were scored. I mean, we all know probably the highest scoring game of all time was that Rams versus Chiefs game. I think it was like 52-50 or something like that. But this is definitely up there. I mean, last year it was probably the Bills versus the Lions for the highest scoring game with a 48-42 game. So this is definitely up there for one of the higher scoring games in general. And the Bears, I believe this was their first time scoring over 40 points this year. So I can see why they say, okay, it might be the best game that the Bears have played. But when you look down to like the nitty-gritty details of this game, it really wasn't. Their defense was kind of lackluster, allowing 42 points to Cincinnati. And, I mean, you mentioned it, Cincinnati's defense is not the best. And we saw in the trade deadline now, they got rid of, who was it? One of their linebackers.
Oh, Logan Wilson.
Yeah. And then obviously there's the question circling Trey Hendrickson at the moment and have been for like the past year. Dang. But, I mean, the run game for the Bears was definitely a bright spot with Kyle Manungai obviously taking over for the absent DeAndre Swift. And me and you were talking that this might be a situation where when we were going into the trade deadline where the Bears might not be looking for a run option after this game.
Yeah, it was great to see Manungai taken over, absolutely commanded the offense for the Bears. The reason why I'm smirking through all that was because the Bears were legitimately, you brought up the Bengals defense, if the Bengals secondary could make a tackle on Colston Loveland, they bounced off of him and he ran to the end zone. It was unbelievable. They were a tackle away from losing this game. I mean, you know, who knows what happens, but chances are it's not in their favor. I mean, they let up they let up, what was it, 17 points in 50 seconds, I think it was.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. How do you even do that? I mean, yeah, the Bears won. It's a win on the, you know, on the win column, but this was not a win that the Bears should be happy by any means. And also, too, this really proves, as you brought it up, you know, they have Jalen Johnson obviously done for the season, knew that going in, but Kylan Gordon, he's been out for some time, and they have backup cornerbacks, so they're really thin. So, actually, I just wanted to bring this up really quick because we're talking about cornerbacks. Asante Samuel is one of the guys who are going around the NFC North, actually, besides the Lions, and floating around. So we'll see if the Bears do sign him at corner because they could definitely use him on the outside because they got Nashawn Wright, I think, back there. And I forgot their other corner, to be honest. With that being said, yeah, the secondary, not so good. This was, in my opinion, such a lucky game. But they pulled it off because I think last season they would have lost this one.
Last season, they 100% would have lost it. I mean, Caleb Williams, 20 for 34, 280 for 3 touchdowns. He had for his standards over the past 2 years, for his entire career at that point, probably one of his better games. Obviously, we're talking about the Bengals defense is not the best. And, I mean, the Bears able to get two interceptions off of Flacco. So I think that was really the turning point, those two turnovers that they let up. But I think overall, do we think that the Bears are a playoff team? Maybe they are sitting at 5-3, but I do need to see a lot more out of that camp to even consider them as a playoff team. But I think they're, I wouldn't say right on the cusp, but they're on the outside looking in for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I think as of right now, they're a team that's just missing the playoffs. You know, they got to add somebody in the secondary or their pass rush has to get better. With that being said, I think the Bears right now are just short, but they're still competitive. So they're no slouch by any means.
Yeah, so let's go into the next game, and that being the Green Bay Packers falling to the Carolina Panthers 16-13. Now, before you get started, I saw a stat, and I want to hear your opinion on this. The Packers are 9 points away from being 8-0.
I actually did not know that. I mean, I can believe it, actually.
All of their games that they have tied or lost would have been won if they made a field goal.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, I, you know, you and I were talking about it off air. I told you Brandon McManus is 3-for-8 outside the 20, or the red zone for that matter. It's ridiculous.
Outside the 20-yard line.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, we thought the Packers had a kicker. He was perfect his first year. We thought we didn't have a kicking problem anymore. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he had this injury a couple weeks ago, and we have this guy who is a substitute teacher coming in, Lucas Haversick, absolutely just rips a 63-yard field goal, which was nuts. And McManus, I think they rushed him back. He's still battling this, I think, hip or quad injury, and he's missing like crazy, dude. I just, you know, why not go with Lucas Haversick, who can get you the kicks that you need to win these games, you know, because these are critical points at the end of the day, especially with the way Matt LaFleur is coaching. I can go, you know, off air, you and I both talked about our teams. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, this loss was detrimental, and it made me just lose composure because the Carolina Panthers are so mediocre. Bryce Young threw for 100 yards, and he still won. No sacks, no pressures by Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary on a backup offensive line. That is inexcusable, and you know, for a guy you're paying $200 million, you know, you can't have that. And with that, I mean, also to Keyshawn Nixon, I'm not going to blame him too much, but he had that critical penalty. You know, you got to learn how the refs are calling the game, and you got to learn to keep your hands off receivers because he is a physical guy, and I like that, but you got to learn when too much is too much, and you can't make a penalty in a critical spot because he made a critical spot, third and goal, they were deep, and they incomplete it, but then DPI put them at the one, and they ran it in for a touchdown. So, but enough about the defense. It's more about the offense and Matt LaFleur. You and I both talked about week in, week out, we need to see the creativity. Well, each week I'm thinking, you know, we're going to see the creativity. This guy's actually regressed so much. He's playing so passive and scared. Ball on midfield before half. 3 run plays, melts the clock. It's like we're playing for a field goal. Well, McManus missed it, 43-yarder. Can't miss those in the NFL right now. And you lost by a field goal. So, you know, at the end of the day, Matt LaFleur is not helping with the run first, screen pass on second down, and then a third and long, third and, you know, middle, like mid. It's just not helping Jordan Love in this offense by any means. And on top of that, we lose Tucker Kraft now. So if the offense wasn't really all that much creative with Kraft, what's it going to be now? Matt LaFleur is going to be challenged. This will be interesting to see against a good team like the Philadelphia Eagles coming up. I like to see the Packers compete, play to their opponents, hopefully. Maybe that's the case. But it was not a good look, everybody looking around the NFL and seeing the Packers lose to the Panthers.
Now, I got two questions for you. Now, you mentioned the zero pressures and zero sacks out of Micah Parsons, and I know we've talked about this a couple times. Obviously, that back injury that has been circling around the NFL for the entire season. Do we think that's affecting him at this point? Because you mentioned backup offensive line, and he has zero pressures and zero sacks.
No, I don't think so, personally. I think it was literally last week he had the game of his life. I think he had three sacks, if I'm not mistaken. He had three sacks. I mean, I forgot how many pressures, but he was unbelievable. But he is getting triple teamed, double teamed. That's fine, but Rashawn Gary has to step up. Devontae Wyatt has to step up. Other guys have to step up.
Lucas Van Ness.
Right. I mean, he's injured.
People like that.
Nonetheless.
I mean, even when he was playing.
Everybody else has to step up. You know, your linebackers in this game are all over the place. You know, it just Rico Dowdle had his way with us and got to our secondary, and it wasn't good. So, is the back injury a factor anymore? No. Micah Parsons, I understand he's getting double-teamed, triple-teamed, but these other guys have to step up.
And then my second question, I know a couple episodes ago we talked about potential top five quarterbacks in the league, and I know there's been some banter between you and one of my coworkers, who we might have on the podcast pretty soon, about where Jordan Love sits in the NFL. Now, we had mentioned prior that he's top five, maybe just outside of the top five, and now my coworker is saying he's not even probably in the top 20, where he had probably one of the worst throws in the NFL that you see this season, where a wide open secondary player for the Panthers in the end zone into his hands.
Yeah, but look, that play, you can't sit there and say, okay, that could have been a pick six. Don't get me wrong. That was a bad, you know, play. But at the same time, Love is in a desperation play, trying to make a play. No receiver worked their way back to their quarterback. A lot of Jordan Love, as I told you before, against Pittsburgh, against Dallas, he played phenomenal. He is not a bad quarterback. It's not the quarterback play. He's a good quarterback. I mean, there's no way to dispute that. You know, just because they aren't, you know, I understand these losses are bad, but it's not just a quarterback play issue. You know, you have to watch these games, the coaching, the play calling. You know, we'll get to your team because, you know, there's a lot of similarities here. But just because the team doesn't win these easy games like the Packers do, does not mean it's the quarterback play.
And yeah, we had talked off stream where Jared Goff and Jordan Love have pretty similar stats throughout pretty much everything. I think the only thing that Jared Goff really has on Jordan Love is passing touchdowns and completion percentage. I think those are really the only two. But kind of to switch over to the game where I almost lost my mind, the Lions falling to the Vikings with a score 27-24. Now, we talked off stream, and I'll mention it again. Something has to happen with John Morton because he either has to be fired or they have to give up the play calling and give it to Dan Campbell. We saw that happen in 2021 where Dan Campbell took over the play calling. And the first game that he did the play calling was the comeback win against Minnesota. Obviously, they went 3-13-1 that year. But at that point, they were 0-11-1. So
I'm kind of curious, Nick. Sorry to cut you off. I want to ask you, because I'm on the same boat with my head coach. I'm not calling for his job, but play calling duties definitely need to be reviewed. If not, a discussion has to has to happen. I wanted to ask you,
yeah,
why do you think things are kind of changing? And for both of our teams, I mean, we're so used to a, you know, explosive offense, play action, and it's regressed to more conservative play. Is it because of, you know, the Lions losing players in the offseason? Is it, you know, obviously John Morton's a new offensive coordinator? What do you think is new and why this is happening for the Lions?
It's not like the Lions lost a lot of players in the offseason. Realistically, they just lost, if we're speaking offensively, Kevin Zeitler and Tim Patrick really are the only two people that they lost in the offseason. But a lot of the same regime is over there. I know David Montgomery seems to be taking a step back a little bit to let Jahmyr Gibbs kind of be the star. Obviously, David Montgomery, an older player, and Jahmyr Gibbs being in his third year. But I think it stems down to just John Morton's play style, right? We saw this in Denver. We saw this when he was the senior offensive director for the Lions back in 2021-2022, and where they were starting to fill in Ben Johnson. Now, Ben Johnson and John Morton, obviously two completely different play callers, and I think it stems from one thing I don't like is the fact that John Morton sits up in the booth the entire time play calling. He's not on the field. He's not talking to the players, really. He's not feeling the energy of the players, kind of like how Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur, all of these play callers are. And I think, I mean, looking at the stats, I mean, the Lions are third overall in points scored, but 23rd on third down. Now, there has to be something where they convert on third down, but a lot of times we're seeing, kind of like how you mentioned with the Packers, these screen passes on third and 13. I mean, we saw a fourth and 8, and it was a screen pass. So I think it has to do with a lot of that. And then obviously now going into the game against the Commanders, we're not going to have Penei Sewell. We're not going to have Taylor Decker. And we're not going to have, I believe Tate Ratledge is going to be out too. So really having those people step up, Coyote Awosika, I know Miles Frazier is potentially coming back. And then we just signed that offensive lineman to our practice squad. And I believe he was already activated to the active roster. And I think the protection has to be changed a little bit. They were talking about potentially Graham Glasgow moving to guard and benching either Mahogany's out for the season. So we got to figure out that situation. And so it's potentially going to be Graham Glasgow moving to guard and then someone playing center. So I think it has to be a situation and not utilizing the tight end. Like we saw a lot of this season where Sam LaPorta was not utilized. Same with Jameson Williams. There was two games where Jameson Williams did not have a single target.
I wanted to ask you, you brought this up. Were you surprised that the Detroit Lions, and I'll answer this too for my team, that the Detroit Lions didn't make a move before the trade deadline?
To be honest, no. I was not surprised. I know the type of general manager that Brad Holmes is. He wants to utilize those draft picks. But, I mean, you hit on your first three drafts. Good job, Brad. Like, you hit with picks in the fourth round, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Derek Barnes. Like, you hit on those, right? And then you have those picks with, like, Broderick Martin, Hendon Hooker. Like, people that, I mean, Hendon Hooker just got cut by the Panthers. So we're talking about picks that are not being utilized, and the Lions spent over $1 billion this year re-signing players. Like, they re-signed, I mean, even going back to last year with Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Derek Barnes was re-signed, Hutch was re-signed, Jameson Williams was re-signed, David Montgomery was re-signed. And then you come down to, okay, when it comes down time for Sam LaPorta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Branch, Jack Campbell, what are you going to do with those guys? Obviously, we know the salary cap is going up. And I want to mention something real quick. You mentioned Brandon McManus being kind of horrible at kicking field goals. Would you believe that Jake Bates is like 1 for 5 on the season?
No.
Would you believe that? He is 1 for 5.
I did not know that. No kidding.
And Jake Bates, obviously one of the top kickers from last year.
I did not even think about that. And he's reliable. Wow.
Yeah, he is 1 for 5.
Is that now, outside the red zone?
Overall.
Wow.
Including the blocked field goal against Minnesota. And I mean, similarities between the Packers and the Lions game. I mean, JJ McCarthy only had 143 yards. One bright spot is Terrion Arnold gets his first career interception. Obviously, it was a bang bang play with Jalen Naylor, and their run defense was pretty much non-existent. Hutchinson got like a finger tap sack. And then I want to talk about this real quick, because I know me and you talked about this a little bit. The roughing the passer against Jack Campbell. Now, we talked about this last year a lot as well. The roughing the passer calls, realistically, we mentioned it a lot with Patrick Mahomes, where he was getting kind of favored with these calls. And now we see it with JJ McCarthy. Now, Tom Brady even said on air that that was not a pass interference. Coming from a quarterback.
Or roughing the passer.
Or roughing the passer. He said, and I quote, "You're taking a good defensive play where you get 1 yard, right? And giving them a free first down." Now,
go ahead.
It was bang, bang. JJ McCarthy released the ball as Jack Campbell was hitting him. Now, we hear about, oh, you can't put your weight on the quarterback. If a linebacker is coming at you at like 10 miles per hour, how is he supposed to stop on that split second? Now, if we want to keep calling roughing the passer calls, let's have a Tua Tagovailoa guardian helmet on these guys. And take off the shoulder pads, put flags around them, have them play flag football while everyone else plays tackle.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that this is where we are in the NFL, where refs can determine, depending on the reffing crew you get, they can really determine, you know, a call. They can really determine an outcome, because, as you said, it's like a millisecond. You can't change your direction. You can't change your trajectory. It's just what it is. And you see the quarterback with the ball, you're going to go get that. And, you know, as soon as he makes a decision to throw it, it's like, what are you supposed to do as a defender? As J.J. Watt, you know, as I brought this up a couple episodes ago about the roughing the passer on, it was on the Giants, Jackson Dart with the Saints, I believe. Yeah.
You mean T.J. Watt?
No. J.J. Watt was on the Pat McAfee show, and he was reviewing the Giants-Saints game where Jackson Dart got it was a BS roughing the passer call on the Saints, and it was like the same thing, except it was even worse because the defender didn't even put his weight on him. It was just the angle the ref had. But nonetheless,
Jack Campbell didn't even put his weight on him either, and it was no helmet to helmet.
The only problem with that Jack Campbell situation is the fact that he put his helmet down into him, and the moment, like, the weight went down into him. So it doesn't matter, because the refs are going to call that nonetheless today, because they're trying to protect these quarterbacks, and they're going to do whatever they can to do that. And it's unfortunate that this is where we are, but there's no stopping it. The defense will not be able to play defense in probably about 2 years from now.
Right. And that, like, it turns into a giant thing where it's like, okay, we're calling roughing the passer, but what about, like, plays that, I mean, we talk about the hit on Jared Goff last year again by Frankie Louvu. Now, Frankie Louvu is suspended for one game without pay. That came out due to unnecessary roughness against quarterbacks, and he's been doing that. And it turns into looking into situations where we were talking, I believe it was two episodes ago, should New York get involved in these games? So we see New York getting involved in games like the Chiefs against the Lions, and even Tampa Bay against the Lions. And we saw it with the Packers game. We saw it with the Jets game. We saw it all over the place. And we didn't see it in this game, where you see a lot of times where Hutchinson is being wrapped and actually tackled to the ground with no flags. And there's a lot to take away from this game, but one thing I will have to say is there is a lot of players coming back for the Lions. Malcolm Rodriguez has been elevated from the IR. Miles Frazier was elevated from the IR. So we're getting those kind of key players a little bit, like those depth players. But the secondary has to get better. Like the couple of things that I was asking for the Lions to trade for were edge rusher, the secondary, and offensive line. And they did none of that.
I hate to do this to you, Nick, but we got to talk about the flip side, the opponent that the Lions played. We got to talk about them because, honestly, this surprised me. And J.J. McCarthy, he looked like he was in control. And even though he only threw for 140 yards, he did throw some good balls. He did throw some good balls, a lot better than what I've seen as of recently from him. And you and I were both talking about this ankle injury. Is it real? Is it not? He did come out and, you know, play a good game. They did have a good game plan. Their defense, it looked good. Obviously, as you know, the Vikings had a plan. So I'm actually curious. I know you'll probably say no to this because you're a Lions fan, but and this game just happened. But are the Minnesota Vikings more of a threat than what we've seen them now or what we have seen them previously as?
You know what? I'm going to actually say yes.
Yeah.
I think they are more of a threat than we were expecting because I know going into this year, we were saying, oh, they might be like 3-12, right? 3-14, actually. So them sitting at 4-4, obviously we tweeted out that the NFC North is pretty much wide open at this point with the Packers being 5-2-1, the Lions being 5-3, the Bears being 5-3, and the Vikings being 4-4. Now it's like deja vu from last year, where all four teams for the NFC North were positive and winning some good football games. It's just going to come down to when they face off against each other. Obviously, the Lions now sit at 1-2 in the division, which is not a good thing to be at this point. And the next division game that we have is the Packers on, I believe, Thanksgiving. Yeah. And that should be a good game in Detroit. And I think Minnesota, seeing how, because I hate this also being a Michigan State fan, seeing how J.J. McCarthy played,
makes a question, man.
It was actually pretty good. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
and
he's like a hit or miss right now.
I mean,
yeah. We'll see next week because they do have a big game. I actually want to go into this since we're looking ahead of games, but they got the Baltimore Ravens coming up. Lamar is back. This is going to be a good game. I think the Ravens, I know the Ravens' defense has been poor, but I think with Lamar back, it's a different team. I think with Kyle Hamilton in the backfield, I think Roquan Smith, you know, we'll see what the Vikings come up with. It's a home game for the Vikings, which is good, but this will be a good game, I think.
Yeah, I think, I mean, prediction-wise, it's going to be a close game. I mean, Lamar obviously coming back, Derrick Henry being healthy. Fingers crossed he doesn't fumble the ball again. Minnesota Vikings, obviously, well-coached defense. They're going to be running the B gap the entire time. You already know that. And it's going to be a test for them to stop Lamar Jackson. And even Lamar Jackson was a question mark on if his injury was truly as severe as we thought.
Yeah.
Now, I think realistically, it is in Minnesota, so that's a good thing. They have really good home field advantage. But I am going to take the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come down to situational football, and I think the Baltimore defense is just a little bit better than the Minnesota defense. So I will have to say Baltimore takes it probably. This is going to be a defensive battle for sure. So I'm going to say like 24-21.
Yeah, I think the Ravens got it 28-23, something like that. This will be an interesting game. I'm interested to see who comes out on top of this one. Next game we got is the New York Giants against the Chicago Bears in Chicago. It's unfortunate that the Giants are banged up at the moment. They have a lot of secondary out. Obviously, Malik Nabers is gone, but Cam Scataboo, an unfortunate
Scataboo.
One. Yeah, I got the Bears in this one. I think that they'll have a lot better of a showing. Ben Johnson will have these guys ready to go. I think the Bears easily take this one like 31-17, no problem.
I'm going to actually say 34-20. I think the Bears have it as well.
Next game, we got the Lions and Commanders, which honestly, I think that this one, you know, rematch last year, I think that this is such a different game, though, in a different time. The Commanders just lost just about everybody. So this one, Lions should be able to feast in that secondary. I got the Lions. I'm going to say this is a pretty good bounce back game for them. I'm going to say it's 34-23 Lions.
Now, I'm going to say a stat, and this is as of November 6th, 2025. The Lions have not lost back-to-back games in the regular season since week 8 of 2022.
That's impressive.
So, and obviously we mentioned the Commanders being banged up. It is going to be Marcus Mariota playing for the Commanders. And obviously Aiden Hutchinson talked about this. His first preseason game was against Marcus Mariota, where he absolutely bodied him out of bounds. So, and obviously the momentum for the Lions still having a solid offensive showing a little bit, besides for the efficiency on third down. But the injuries to like Penei Sewell, Taylor Decker, Tate Ratledge, and Christian Mahogany is definitely a question mark. But I will have the Lions winning this. I'm going to say 42-14.
Actually, this is really interesting. We both got the Lions on that one, but you made me look up if that what the Packers was, because I was curious, because I don't know when the last time the Packers actually lost back-to-back games. 2018, it said. I don't know if that's true or not, but that'd be, it says the Cardinals and the Bears. 2018, if someone could fact-check me, because the last couple years, I don't remember the Packers.
What was that regular season? Yeah.
I don't remember the Packers losing back-to-back games. Not that I can remember, but my memory's not the best. Nonetheless, Packers, Eagles, Nick, who do you got? I'll let you go first, then I'll give my pick, which I think we all know what it is.
This is interesting because the Eagles had a very good trade deadline. Yeah. The Packers did not.
Didn't do anything.
I don't think the Packers made a single move. So you mentioned 2018. I think that gets broken. I'm going to take the Eagles. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a Lions fan and I want the Packers to lose if the Lions win. Right? Because then it comes down to tiebreakers. But I will say the Eagles because I feel like they are looking like a better team at the moment than the Packers are. Obviously, I think they're better coached.
Yeah.
Don't hate me for saying that. But I do have the Eagles. Obviously, it is in Green Bay. So Green Bay is another team that has really good home field advantage. But the X factor for me is going to be the secondary for the Packers. The front seven, they need to get home for the Packers if they want any chance of winning. But that secondary going up against A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, that's going to be the X factor for me. So I will have the Eagles winning. You're going to really hate me for this one. 17-14. Wow. A field goal game again. But I will say 17-14, maybe 21-18.
Wow, low scoring, man. Yeah, there's so many ways that this Eagles team can attack this Packers defense. Of course, you got Saquon in the backfield, which is great. You got a great offensive line, great. You got the tush push, great. You got A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, great. I got the Packers, of course, just winning this game because I'm a Packers fan. Got to believe in my team. Got to say at 27-23, I think the Packers will pull away. I think they'll find a way. I think that, you know, Matt LaFleur is catching a lot of heat. There's no way he can go in with this game plan against the Eagles, who the Packers lost to twice last season. they have to know how to play this team. And if they don't, if they come out like the way they did last week, there's a lot to talk about next week's episode. But I think the Packers can come out, match the energy, and find a way to win.
You mentioned the play calling. Mike, we've been talking about this all year. You keep saying it every week. It's going to be different. It's going to be different. It's gotta change. When are we going to see it different?
It's got to change. One way or another, it's got to change. Matt LaFleur has to know. We played this team now, 2 times last season.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned that you're not really calling for his job. If we see the same thing in this next game against the Eagles, are you then going to start considering calling for his job? Because if the play calling doesn't change for the Packers or the Lions, I mean, they both have 5 wins. They're not locked for the playoffs.
I think right now the Packers media is going to start picking up on the heat. And Matt LaFleur, I don't know if he knows it or not, but people are enraged by this. People are fuming on Packers Twitter, you know, the media. It's not good. So I think Matt LaFleur has to know. I mean, I don't know what he's doing or what he's thinking, but he comes into every game so-called prepared, just like last week in the Panthers game, but he got out-coached. What a joke. He has to know that there's going to be some heat coming on if they come out flat again. They cannot have 2 possessions in the first half. Otherwise, they will lose this game 40-17. No question. There will be a lot of attention on Matt LaFleur this game. This is a very important game. I don't think he will drop the ball. If they lose this game, it'll be a close one. But he can't drop the ball. Cannot. I'm not going to call for his job because I still think he's a great coach. There's a lot of things, though, he has to adjust. He has to work on. And this team, as you said, is not a lock for playoffs right now. We have a tough back 7. You got to win these games, especially losing to the Panthers.
Yeah. And I'll mention this last thing before we wrap up the episode. It's the same thing with the Lions. I mean, there's a lot of heat going to John Morton. And obviously, this is the matchup that we lost in the playoffs last year. And everyone was saying Ben Johnson wasn't focused on the play calling. He was focused on the head coaching interviews. Obviously, he took the head coaching job with the Bears, I think, 3 days later. So there's going to be a lot of heat and a lot of attention on this game for the Lions against the Commanders. Obviously, the playoff rematch, this time in Washington. But I think realistically, this is going to be a check game for John Morton. Yeah. But that's going to wrap up the episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. Sorry about the late upload. There's a lot of technical difficulties that we ran into while trying to record throughout the week. And make sure to follow us on Twitter and YouTube and Spotify and Amazon Music and Apple Podcasts. We normally upload every Thursday at 3 p.m., but the NFL season is halfway through. It's a fun one so far, and it's only going to get better from here. Thank you guys for tuning in.